Welcome back to EcoTalk, where we bring you sound solutions for a healthier planet and healthier people. And it's just that connection we like to emphasize. We're very excited to be moving into the weekday slot. Also very excited to have in this studio with me an old friend, someone who you may have heard of if you follow the Green Beat at all, Joel McCower. He's a well-respected voice on business, the environment, and the bottom line, and how they really can add together to help the bottom line. He's also the founder and executive editor of greenbiz.com and co-founded Clean Edge Inc., which is a research and publishing firm which is helping to build markets for clean energy technology. Joel is also a big blogger. He has lots of sites, and you can find them all through greenbiz.com. Welcome.
Thank you, Betsy. It's a pleasure. And congratulations on the new format.
It is so exciting. You and I have known each other for about as long as I've been on this beat, almost 10 years. We see each other at all the green conferences, and it's really been exciting to see the tipping point finally, I won't say arriving.
Well, we're definitely arriving at a point in history here, and it's very appropriate that as this stuff really becomes part of the mainstream, that EcoTalk join that as well.
Thank you. So let's thank the management at Air America Radio who recognized that. And I hate to say it, also Hurricane Katrina really seemed to begin that tipping point. But let's learn something from that disaster. So you talked about green building is one of the big trends. The other is green business and the other is clean technology. Those three have sort of created the stool, if you will, for the tipping point to begin.
Well, there's so much going on. It's hard to know where to begin. As I've been in this writing and speaking and working with companies for almost 20 years in this space, and there is no point in history like what's going on right now, where we're just seeing companies that you would never expect to be leaders in the sustainability space all of a sudden stepping up.
Like Walmart, like GE. And is it real or is it greenwashing?
You know, I get asked that question a lot.
I bet you do.
And what's going on? I mean, we're getting Walmart and GE and DuPont and GM and Nike and
BP.
McDonald's and BP and Home Depot and all these companies talking green. You know, you see, you know, Honda has environmentality and Toyota has these things and GM is telling us to live green, go yellow. And Dow just introduced the human element and these ad campaigns. Yes and no. I mean, yes, something fundamentally different is changing. Companies are paying attention. They're thinking about this. And it's not simply about looking better. They're actually going, understanding that sustainability, environment, clean technology, whatever you want to call it, is really a means not just to improve the bottom line, you know, in other words, reducing costs, but actually growing the top line, in other words, creating new business opportunities, that they see that there is profit and new businesses to be had in helping their companies, their customers solve their environmental problems, whether you're a B2B customer who actually has emissions or an individual consumer driving a car.
And B2B, business to business, of course. Well, carbon neutral, you know, that's the whole thing. How do you offset your emissions? That's a big trend, too. It's almost like it used to be, what sign are you? What's your cholesterol level? Now it's what's your carbon emission level? And that's an interesting trend because we're seeing organizations, even some companies, really taking this on.
Well, this whole thing about, you know, now that we understand or are beginning to understand our climate footprint, in other words, what is our individual, whether we're a person or a family or a community or a business, what is our contribution to global warming through the activities we undergo and the products and services that we buy? Then the question is, well, how do you reduce and offset those? It's a little bit, I'm not so sure I like this trend, actually, Betsy. I think this is a problem. And I'll tell you the situation. Remember, you of course know better than anybody, the three R's, right? Reduce, reuse, recycle.
And rot.
But reduce, reuse, recycle is not just an alliteration, it's a hierarchy, right? Mm-hmm. So the first thing you want to do is reduce the amount of stuff that you're using. Second of all is that you want to use it over and over as much as possible. And third, when you've used the least amount of stuff as much as possible, then you recycle it. But we in this country in particularly go to recycling as the number one thing. We think that if we just recycle it, that's fine, not recognizing that it's a third choice. So in energy and climate, there's a parallel, which is reduce. The first thing you want to do is be most efficient. Use the least amount of energy you need to live your life and to run your business. The second thing is, of the energy that you do buy, you want to use the highest percentage of renewable energy that comes from solar and wind and other sources that you can often buy from your local utility. And after you've done that, use the least amount of energy and the highest percentage of renewables, then you want to offset it by, you know, planting trees and doing a number of things. The problem is people go right to the third choice again. They say, I'm going to drive as much as I want because it's climate neutral, and, you know, or fly as much as they want. And that's not the right way to look at this.
Sort of like when people see Al Gore's movie, too many of them go right to, oh, is he running for president? Is this a political ploy? Just focus on what he's saying. You know, he's talking about global warming. This is a message that he needed to get out. And we're too quick to sort of jump ahead. And I'm going to jump ahead right now and ask you about solar technology. I understand, I mean, that's been a 30-year overnight success story. Their phones are ringing off the hook. People are interested in solar panels. We just moved and couldn't take the panels from our old house, so we're looking into it. First of all, is there anything like roof tiles that actually can become solar generators, and also nano solar? What's coming up there?
Well, wow, that's a lot of questions in standing on one foot in just 2 minutes. But
it's kind of selfish because we're looking into that now for our own home. Yes. But a lot of people ask me, and I don't have the answers, of course.
You know, you're right. Solar energy has been, as a mass consumer item, has been just around the corner for 30 years. And guess what? It's just around the corner. It is ramping very nicely. And we're going to be seeing over the next 3 to 4 years solar showing up in roof tiles, in building products, in even textiles and lots of things. Those technologies already exist. They're not ready for prime time for consumers like you and me. And there's another problem taking place right now, which is it's a problem you want to have, but it's a problem nonetheless, which is that there's a shortage of solar panels. The demand has been so high, there's a shortage actually of the silicon, which is a material that they use to make computer chips and also solar panels. And the demand is so high that it's going to take a while. The prices, which should be coming down right now because of the rapidly growing sales, are actually going up slightly.
That's in the can't win category.
Well, it's a problem. It's a supply-demand problem, and there are a number of new silicon plants being created, and there's a number of new technologies. You mentioned nanotechnology. NanoSolar is one company, and there's several different companies that are trying to make solar panels either with less silicon or with alternatives to silicon or with no silicon at all. And some of them are using nanotechnology. They're using a technology that's kind of like your inkjet printer, actually being able to print on to different kinds of materials, foil or plastic or even your textiles, a solar collecting material. It's very exciting. It's also not a commercial product yet, but we will, as a result of the incredible amount of work that's being done and the millions or billions of dollars that are being invested in this space, a lot of these technologies in the coming years.
And the other area that we're seeing a lot of growth in and hearing a lot about and participating in is greener cars.
Well, the car space, I mean, I was just down in Southern California driving the General Motors new Honda. Well, it's new, but it's going to be introduced hydrogen fuel cell car. It's called the Sequel. And boy, it was really, I mean, we went on a 25-mile drive, and it's a great car. It's an SUV, runs on a small SUV, runs on hydrogen. And they're actually going to be putting 100 of them out there into the marketplace next year.
Only cost $1 million each?
In three markets, but they're going to be trying to get them in the hands of specific people who they want to start to, different types of people who use them for work, people who use them for, you know, soccer moms and things like that, to really get some experience. And that technology is a few years off from being mass-produced, but in the meantime, we're seeing so many hybrids that are going to be coming out, 6 or 8 of them this year at the L.A. and Detroit and Chicago auto shows in the next 6 months, you'll be seeing quite a number of new products coming out. And you're going to start to see the beginnings. This is very exciting, Betsy, the plug-in hybrids, where some of the big car companies are going to be able to take a hybrid car like you have a Prius, and you can actually plug it in, and it has a more heavy-duty battery. And instead of using the battery just for parts of the driving, you'll be able to use the battery part for a higher percentage of the driving, and you'll be able to get the equivalent of over 100 miles per gallon.
And so, one of the leaders in that movement, Felix Kramer of CalCars, was on the show a few months ago, and it's so wonderful. You know, we've all been seeing each other at these green conferences over the years and pulling our hair out for most of those years. When are the people going to listen? When are people going to wake up? And all of a sudden, he's in such demand that they had him come to D.C. so legislators could drive his plug-in hybrid.
They're listening, and so now you're going to be seeing General Motors, Daimler Chrysler, Toyota, and other big car companies are going to start to introduce those technologies. They heard the marketplace talk. They're listening. They saw that the pure electric car didn't work the first time. But now that we've had hybrids, and now that we plug in hybrids, and then we'll have electric cars again, it's going to come full circle. So there's some things that are definitely changing.
And we can get back to this another time because we're almost out of time. But what about the tracking process, the reporting processes for corporations that are trying to be greener? I know that's a big issue, but is that also being implemented so we can actually see if there are results?
Well, there's so much going on, and we can talk about this in the coming months. There's so many companies doing so many different kinds of things. And the question, as you asked at the top of the segment, is how do we know that it's real? And are there standards? And how can we really tell as individuals, as consumers, as stockholders and things like that? And we can't yet. But there's starting to be some reporting mechanisms. There's now a standard called the Global Reporting Initiative. That's a standard for reporting on non-financial sustainability related things, kind of like the generally accepted accounting principles. And there's some other things that are going to be coming into the marketplace so that you and I can, and everybody listening can go out and see, is this company, what this company's talking about, are they really doing it? Is it really just a tiny thing? What's the difference between the walk and the talk?
And I told you at the top of this inaugural edition of EcoTalk, there is so much to talk about. And Joel McCarroll will be joining us as a regular contributing editor because there's so much to say. And it's all about solutions, folks. We're not waiting for it to happen. There are people, there are products out there, there's companies out there that are doing it already. So we're going to bring you that kind of information so you can start something similar in your own community, find some inspiration in all of the gloom and doom, and really just stay on top of what is the most important beat out there. Is how I feel. You feel the same way, Joel?
Well, this is where I live, so I'm not going to disagree with you. Absolutely.
Thanks so much for joining us. You're listening to EcoTalk. You can find us on the web at ecotalk.net. Stay tuned. When we come back, we'll talk about the chickens coming home to roost.